Oh, listeners, we're talking to Wes Taylor. We're talking, he's from Taylor Fish, but Taylor Shellfish, but he actually is not a tailor. It's a very complicated story. He's a tailor, but not the tailor for the company, but he did marry a tailor for the, he married somebody who was from the company who was a tailor. And could you tell me how to pronounce what we're talking about today, Wes? Ekone, or
Sure.
what?
Yeah. We're talking today about Taylor Shellfish Farms, and we're talking about our 10 seafood brand Ekone, and I guess a bit of its history and how our two companies came together, and what's the brand and what we do.
Right. And I explained to you before we started the recording that we've been longtime fans of your company itself, Taylor Shellfish Farms, because we were really good friends with John Riley, your employee, longtime employee, and John used to send us oysters all the time. I just loved it. I was so happy. And yeah, and we've shared oysters. And we used to do, what was that thing, the contest we had? And
It
was
was he
it,
did an oyster wine competition. Is that
yeah,
what you're
that was it,
referring
the
to every
wine.
year?
Yeah, because everybody thinks you can't drink wine with the oysters, and that's wrong, right?
That's absolutely wrong. I definitely think wine is definitely one of the needed partnerships, I guess, when you're eating good seafood in general, but oysters, definitely.
Now, how long has your company been around again?
Our company was founded, our story really starts back in 1890. So what's that,
Oh, wow.
135 years now?
Yeah. It's even older than our house. Amazing. This has to be a complicated arrangement. I mean, the hot item going today in the food world is tinned fish, and you now have a brand called Ekone, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, of tinned fish. There has to be a story there. How did you end up doing this? How did you end up from going from fishing out oysters to having a tinned fish?
I mean the story's really come together. It's kind of two family businesses that each had shellfish farming as their core competency.
Okay.
Basically, Taylor Shellfish, as I said, we've been farming shellfish here in the Pacific Northwest for 130 years, and we're focused on innovation and continuing to try to improve and grow the best shellfish we possibly can, and also bring it to the consumer in a way that they like to enjoy it. And Ekone Oyster Company, at the same time, was started in the early 1980s. And it was started by Nick Jamber and his wife. And Nick Jamber was a shellfish farmer, a neighbor shellfish farmer and friend in Willapa Bay. And he was, in addition to a great shellfish farmer, he also was kind of an artisanal craftsman and loved the art of smoking and the nuance of adding value to the shellfish that he grew. And from the early 1980s to 2017, he slowly perfected the recipe and the art and craft of growing oysters, but at the same time, smoking and canning them. And as you know, the like agriculture business, it's a family multi-generational type gig. And in his case, his kids weren't interested in taking on the family legacy and living the life of an
Oh.
oysterman. And so he decided to retire, and we were fortunate enough to have been well acquainted and good friends with him. And at that point, we took kind of custody, I guess, of his recipe and his brand, and we're trying the best we can to marry his artisanal craft of smoking and canning and kind of dovetailing it along with our shellfish farming practices. And so basically, like I mean, really, there's not another company that I can know on the face of the earth that is trying to really go end to end on oysters in particular, where basically we from hatchery through the nurseries and through the farms and now from the farms into our smokehouse and through our cannery, we can get product in a way that's approachable for a lot of people, especially younger generation, to try our products.
Well, I mean, the products, the economy products are excellent. I just had more for lunch.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, the whole market is really a crowded one now. What do you do to differentiate yourself from the rest of these people? A tin fish is a huge operation now.
Yeah, no, I mean, the consumptive habits of the younger generation and even the millennials and higher really, I guess, are becoming more conscious of what they're eating, conscious of the story behind the food and where it came from. And, the art of preserving and canning is one of such where you can really capture the seasonality of things. And shellfish, like a lot of other products, which is the area of protein we're really heavily focused on. I mean, there is seasons, and it's a living animal that has certain times a year that it's reproducing, and certain times a year that it's holding and storing fat. And we really try and focus our cannery around harvesting and preserving at peak season. And I think by doing that, we're able to really create really able to preserve and deliver a always fresh, really, always in peak season product all year long, at your convenience at your house. And, speaking to, the industry and what differentiates us, I mean, we are a unique case because we're not a brand doesn't own the resource. We do the entire process from start to finish, where most stories of canneries are they're on the preservation side. They're relying on a natural resource, if it's sardines or if it's in tuna. And they contract with the fishermen. The fishermen will drop their loads at their cannery, and their art is the preservation and processing end of it.
Interesting.
Or there's the brands. There's a lot of the brands out there that will contract with other canneries to do the preservation process. And but there's not many brands out there that are able to do the whole process and control the protein from start to finish. And I mean, oysters take, the oysters that we're using for the can take up to 3 years, 3 to 4 years to become the right condition to where they smoke and can well. And so it's a long investment. I mean, the stuff we're canning right now was planted in 2021. And
wow.
So it's definitely it's a long turn. And it's a worthy
process. Are you using protocols that have been going on for centuries in Europe, or do you have innovations?
I mean, we're following all the basics behind the canning process. You are very heavily regulated, right? There are some nuances and things that you can do to help keep things from drying out, let's say, or to help with texture and things like that. But the actual canning, process is very specific and calculated, I guess. And so the craft and the opportunity to be unique is coming in the flavors. It's coming in the prep work on the protein, if it's a brine or if it's a sear or if it's a seasoning or, other things like that, to really be able to prepare the protein for the canning process and for it to hold up over time. And what we're doing, I would say we're not novel. We have any sort of proprietary way of preserving. But around oysters, which is kind of our marquee product, the process that we've come up with, took Nick, 40 years to perfect. I mean, it's not just, grandma's or grandpa's old, smoked salmon where you just kind of, just salt and sugar and call good and throw it in there. I mean, there's definitely... you can screw up an oyster really easily if you don't know what you're doing.
Right. Now, the preparations seem to be much more creative and experimental than some of the more traditional, like Spanish preparations.
I definitely say there's a craft to what we're doing. Like, I mean, and it all starts
There's
with the
a
quality
chefy
of
tone too. There's a certain chefy tone to it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, totally. Yep. There's very specific. Well, I mean, you're a chef, and I know that's in your background, and I know you probably relied first and foremost on the quality of the product coming in the door. Because if you get
Always,
something
yeah.
that comes in that's not good, you're not going to be able to, no matter how hard you try, you can't put lipstick on a pig, right? So I think the
Right.
magic behind what we're doing is really comes down to the oyster itself and its condition when we get it, and trying not to compromise on that. And so it's a live animal, and it's not cookie cutter. It's not, we're not manufacturing, we're farming. And so, I mean, if at 1 year, June might be the season that we need to harvest, and the year before it may have been April. And so a lot of it's kind of really focusing on the biology of the animal and the nuances of the environment that year,
Yeah, I guess the changes in the
having,
environment might really offer some challenges for you, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a,
I mean, you think of all those California fires and all that smoke and all that's happening there. It's really pretty awful, isn't it?
Yeah,
So
and that's
you
no
have to
fun for
be
anybody.
sort of nimble in this. That plus the fact that, I mean, the field is just jam-packed with competition.
Yep. And I think it's good for the industry, really. I mean, I think you look at it, most all other spaces, wine or craft beer or even olive oils and a lot of these spaces. And I mean, the competition really helps keep it keeps the people interested in the space, keeps them coming back and trying more, trying different things. And it also basically is proof that there's increasing demand in the space. And so, I mean, I would say, myself and a lot of the seafood brands out there can be thankful for a lot of the new up and comers, to get new people in the space, because that first time trial that you get on somebody who's never tried tinned fish before, that's a
Yeah.
barrier that now allows somebody to say, "Oh, wow, I love that smoked salmon. That was amazing. I never thought I would eat that." To then being like, maybe I'll try a sardine. Maybe I'll try a smoked mussel.
Yeah, how
Maybe I'll
many
try
products do you
these things.
have? How many different?
We have 10 different SKUs. We have 3 flavors of smoked oysters. We have now 3 mussel products. We have 1 smoked mussel and 1 mussel in curry, 1 mussel in marinara, and these are mussels that we grow on our farms. We have an octopus. That's really good.
Oh,
We
I didn't
have,
get any of that. I didn't get any
yeah.
octopus. Oh, that's
Yeah,
great.
you
That's my
should.
favorite thing. My grandson
Oh,
loves octopus too. It's funny. Yeah, I don't know if it's a trend or what, but I'd be
yeah, you
raised
need to
on
try
it.
it. Yeah,
I
it's
was raised
impressive.
on octopus, though. I mean, some people can't stand it. I do recall. I'm trying to remember a Maine seafood company sent me a whole octopuses, and it never bothered me before, but I had just read that gourmet magazine article. No, it wasn't gourmet. Gourmet was the lobster. I read something on an article about how intelligent octopuses were. Oh, the guy had made friends with an octopus. And so my hardest part of cooking this octopus was cutting off its head. I had a real hard time with that.
Well, the octopus that we're sourcing, it's a giant Pacific octopus, and it's coming from Alaska, and it's a bycatch from the cod fishery,
Oh,
and it's
good.
a very highly managed fishery. And I mean, Alaska has a reputation as, probably the best managed wild fishery in the world. And they've got really good regulations around what octopus can keep and what comes up with the cod fishery. And so there's it's a good resource, and it's a really fantastic protein. If you've never had ours, you'll have to get you one.
Yeah, they. I guess the Spanish rely on the octopuses from northwest Spain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pulpo. Yep.
But I mean, I often wondered how they could keep producing such volumes with such a limited resource.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. I don't know a lot about their resource there.
Yeah. Do you have to have a major marketing program, or is it the marketing just come naturally with this rise of interest in tin fish?
I mean, I think marketing is definitely not our first. I would say at Taylor Shellfish, I would say creative marketing is not our strong suit. It's been one that has been learned over time. I think this has been a great exercise for us. I mean, I think when you've been around for as long as we have, you know, a lot of your means of selling are through legacy relationships and through legacy channels, and continuing to provide for those channels. And you're a lot of times operating behind the scenes, but as you kind of transition over to a brand or a known brand, and you're trying to compete with, you know, restaurants, or you're trying to compete in retail, you definitely need to have an understanding on marketing and how it works. And so with Oconee in particular, as we've taken the brand and we've, updated the branding, updated the packaging, and kind of started to get ourselves more into the retail space, there's definitely been some learning curves on figuring out just the art of marketing and what works and what doesn't, and what's your consumer looking for, and how do you attract them, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I have to compliment you, by the way, on the packaging, because my big frustration with all these tin fish brands is you could never open the stupid pretend. I always end up with getting the can opener out instead of the pull tab, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I told you I just had one of yours, Oconee, for lunch, and it was easy to open. I mean, it was open before I even expected it, so I got olive oil all over everything. Now, who you say it's a younger market, and like what do they go for? Do they go for the preparation, the ingredients? What's your strong point in reaching that market?
You know, I think this new market, this new group of consumers, above and beyond, as I mentioned before, the interest of a nutritious, environmentally friendly, sourcing of the products. They're very much around, the convenience as well. Like, you know, something that's easy to be done at home, easy to eat on the go, something that is, days past where you would spend an hour prepping dinner, you can get a half dozen oysters in a can, and get the nutritional benefit from those. And you can do it in as easy as opening the can or adding it to a simple meal or salad or pasta or something like that. But I also think, tin fish are very much, it's a social food as well. Well, I mean, like, the kind of rise around, like, charcuterie boards, basically you're entertaining So, I mean, fish, it's not, in a lot of cases, I mean, especially in the market that I'm in, I mean, you're not selling a $2 can of tuna. This is something that you want to celebrate with somebody else for a special occasion. Like, if it's for a nice date, or you have some friends coming over for dinner and you want to showcase something unique from where you grew up, you want to have, put a nice, beautiful spread out for a bunch of friends that are coming over. Let's get something unique and special for that. I think there's definitely a lot. It's a social food, and you share it and eat it with a lot of other toppings is another way that people like to use it. And I think younger generation.
Like what?
So, like my way I love to serve our food our 10 fish would be accompanying with, you know, classic cracker, classic spread. If it's like, you know, it could be just some cream cheese. It could be a spicy jam. It could be, you know, in the preserves. It could be, you know, eaten on a cracker, just like how you would probably eat, you know, ham if you were having a charcuterie spread. I mean, you're eating it with a mix of crackers and cheese. It's a really classic prep. And in the social setting, I think that's the best way to do it. It gives you an opportunity to...
Do you put it, do you take it out of the tin and put it in a dish, or just serve it in the tin?
Yeah, either way. It really depends on what kind of spread you're going for. I mean, the tin itself is obviously suited very well to keep in it and to place it amongst other
that.
Things on a spread. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I've been doing that with company even. I mean, I'll just put it all out in the tin. That's probably a no-no.
No, I think that's totally fine. I would say, well, I mean, assuming... Yeah, assuming you're going to eat it in a sitting, it'd be fine. I would say if you're going to put it back in the fridge, I'd probably change the container. For you know,
oh, right,
for
serving,
yeah,
you don't
want to
put it back in the tin, yeah. Now, we went through some of the things. How many total do you have in that Econi line?
We have 10 different SKUs. That we run with at Econi. And I said, we've got three oysters, we've got three mussels, we have the octopus, we have a smoked salmon, we have two tunas. And those are kind of our core products. I'm sold out of a few of them here at the minute.
I don't know what tuna. I'm trying to think if I had any tuna. That's hard to spritz up. You're so used to canned tuna. I remember, you know, the market, the gym. When I'm a gym rat, so I remember people buying presents for the gym, you know, like for Christmas. And I would go to the supermarket and I'd buy a whole bin full of tuna canned in water, which is pretty disgusting, but that's what they all loved.
I mean, it's dense protein and it's satiating. It fills you up.
Right.
I get it.
Now, I mean, are you looking to add new kinds of fish to it or skews to it?
Or yeah, I'd say, yeah, definitely. No, I think focusing on the shellfish that we grow. I mean, we grow manila clams, we grow gooey duck, we grow four varieties of oysters. And we grow mussels. And my goal would be in our product innovation pipeline would be to continue to try and find new attractive recipes with the products that we grow. I see coming up, we play around with some gooey duck for a unique, if it's a limited time offering, or if it's a long time SKU, that'll determine kind of its popularity. But we definitely have a lot of options with those four proteins to do lots of creativity.
You sure do. I used to, I can't remember the name of the company now. It was a smoked oyster in the Pacific Northwest that I used to buy and even give as wedding presents. The problem was you couldn't ever get your order through in time because they were always out on the fishing boats. I can't remember this, but it seemed to be. It was fresh. It was fresh, but I mean, I don't remember.
Oh, fresh
what it
smoked.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they actually smoked it on the boat. I think it was. I don't remember now. It was a long time ago, but I thought it was an ingenious wedding present for a gourmand person.
Yeah. No, it's a great gift. That's a good example of how people are using it.
Yeah. Now, how does one go about ordering it? Give us you do order online, right? E-commerce.
Yeah, I think that was kind of like a lot of other brands. That was kind of the start at learning how to retail and how to distribute and learning about your customers and your business really so that's kind of where we started. And from there, we've kind of grown out to Amazon. You can find us on Amazon, and we're the direct purveyor on Amazon ourselves, so we manage that. And then we've kind of expanded quite a bit. I think we're in about 1,500 doors at this point. A lot of those would be kind of your natural grocers, kind of neighborhood corner store kind of grocers, kind of boutique spots. We're in a lot of
That's
those. And then
amazing that you could
here,
do that. That must mean
yeah.
that it's really well, it's a well-received product, or you wouldn't be able to get away with that because the shelf
Yeah.
space is so limited, yeah, restricted.
Yep. Yep. And
So.
you can find us in Whole Foods now. We've got all three of our oysters, and here soon we'll have our mussels and curry product in Whole Foods. So that's been a nice learning curve getting into retail.
Now, could I jump back a little bit to Taylor
Sure.
shellfish? Because every
Yeah.
time I read about one of these health warnings, I worry about. I mean, I love raw oysters, and I just persisted in eating them. I mean, this must do something to your sales and marketing, that all the bad news on oysters and food poison or food, whatever it's
Yeah.
called.
Yeah.
What do
Yeah,
you do to counteract that?
I mean, the shellfish industry in general is very highly regulated space. I mean, we operate under numerous, jurisdictions, and our local health department specifically is monitoring water quality and health. And for the most part, in general, over the whole year, the illness factor is very, very low risk. And I mean, we don't. Our goal is to not get one person sick from the products that we sell, and we stand by that. And everything we do is to eliminate that risk entirely. Now there are some things that are you can't predict, and some of the recent ones that have come out are more of a natural occurring, or a if it's not natural, it's caused by something that's outside of the norm, and you can't really predict it. So you have to manage around it. I mean, from a consumer standpoint, I mean, it doesn't look good. We don't want anyone to get sick, and I think that's where the industry is trying to go.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had my stomach pumped in Philadelphia on cherry stone clams once.
Oh
That
no.
was bad.
Ouch. Yeah.
It hasn't altered my fascination with raw shellfish. That's
Yeah.
me. I don't know. Did we spell out economy?
Yeah, it's
I mean, did we even do the
EKONE.
website? I'm trying to remember if we did the whole website.
Yep, the website should be EKONE, EKONE, seafood, in all one word, www.ekoneseafood.com.
Okay.
And that's our website for the 10 Seafoods brand.
And what about shellfish?
That's www.taylorshellfishfarms.com.
With a no apostrophe.
No apostrophe, nope.
Shellfish, one word.
Yep. Taylor Shellfish Farms, one word.
.com. And listeners, let me tell you, this makes a wonderful present for anybody who loves seafood. This is great. Well, I hope
Yep.
you're having a good time, Wes. I mean, you have something else to play with now that you have this tin fish brand, division
Oh,
too.
yeah. Yep. Never a dull moment around here.
Yeah.
Always something to do.
Well, yeah. Of course, another whole other topic would be what's happening with the environment, and it's you've always been very careful of your environmental policies, and that should be a plus for your company and also for auxiliary companies like Econe or additional companies, whatever we call them. But it's going to get more challenging as we go along, I think, with what's going on environmentally. What do you do to counteract that?
I mean, in reality, I mean, things move at a pace so far. We've been fortunate and that we've been able to, I guess, counteract a lot of the changes through just basically our management practices, mainly in our hatchery. Coming up with making sure that our oyster program, our clam program, our breeding programs that we're doing are to hopefully create resistance to a lot of the things that we're worried about in the environment and things that we can try to control. That includes anything from virus resistance to resistance to heat or fresh water and some of the other elements that can create problems. So we kind of we try to mitigate that. Having hatcheries that we can control our seed supply, because it's the smallest of larvae that really get the biggest impact from the changes in the environment. And so having a controlled area that we can kind of raise our babies, I guess, in till they're mature has kind of helped with the buffering of it. We're going to have, I mean, in order to make it another 135 years, there's obviously going to need to be significant improvements there, or we'll have to kind of just manage around it. But yeah, no, it's definitely scary.
Yeah, just scary. Listeners, I mean, I don't come out and say this all the time, but I would put up anything in support of this company because I've long, long followed them and enjoyed their products and trust them. So anyhow, I love talking to you, Wes Taylor, even though you're from
yes,
a different
you.
Branch of the Taylors.
You go back in that generation, maybe we're the same.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great product, and I hope everything goes well for you with your expanded reach. I mean, you have a whole new reach to deal with as well. Okay,
yeah, thank you.
Listeners, check it out. Check out the websites and see what you can get. Thanks for talking to us, Wes Taylor. And and on behalf of Econe and also on the parent company, Taylor Shellfish. Thank you.
Sounds good. It was a pleasure, Ann. Thank you so much. Bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.